This is TV Worth Talking About.
My gut tells me we're dealing with sophisticated fans.
This is Shrine Podcasts.
90 seconds, hurry!
Trigger Point.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcasts presents Trigger Point. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And we are back to dismantle season 2, episode 2. And I'm just about recovered, guys. More death, more drama. And I was two rosés in, so I had to ask Brendan exactly what happened. There was a dog collar bomb in the kitchen.
Has the number of rosés been revised since we spoke a minute ago?
I had Diane. Three, but I said two. I know. There was a dog collar bomb in the kitchen, a critical whisper from the power station man before a code blue. Lana and Tom decided to give their relationship another go before her hopes and dreams were ripped apart thanks to a Georgia line of duty style shocking ending. Today, Brendan has got your recap. Hannah is serving your best thoughts and theories. First, though, a little catch up. How is everyone after the long weekend here in Ireland?
I know it really felt like everyone in the UK was like, what do you mean you have a day off? I was like, we have a new bank holiday, guys, and it's in February. It's really close to Christmas and it's delicious. Thank you. And I think it's like extra nice because, you know, all the ones during the summer, like, you know, the usual, like the Junes, the Augusts, whatever. They're a busier time of year, nicer weather. And I feel like they're all, because we've had them for years, we generally have plans and stuff to do. But a Monday off in February, you don't have to do anything. It's lovely.
It just felt like it's for us. Do you know what I mean? It's just a day for yourself to catch up on your own life, do your bits and pieces, have a few lions. Yeah, I was absolutely thrilled. I just was walking around all weekend, drinking rosé, you know, chilling out. It was nice. Do you know what I mean? How are you, Hannah Pett?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I just think a bank holiday in February is such a treat. And the government gave it to us. It's for St. Bridget's, which, love that, because St. Patrick has one. So, like, let's balance it out gender-wise. But I specifically remember it being like, if you are good during COVID, we will give you this bank holiday at the end of it. And then you get it every year.
That is what happened, yeah.
It's definitely,
if you're
like
good during COVID, if you behave now, we'll give you another bank holiday.
A PR thing from the current government to be like, please vote us back in, because they know they're on the out. But
we won't build you a house, but we'll give you a day off.
This exactly, yeah. And to be honest with you, I'm thrilled about it. But yeah, I agree with you, Brendan, totally. It's not the June banker. You're not going on a hen. Someone isn't getting married. You can just sit at home for 4 days. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, I saw a really good meme. I think it's on, there's an Instagram account. I think it's called Gaelic Queens, but spelt like gay as in G-A-Y.
Oh,
and it was a video, the snip from Bridget Jones, where they're in the car, they're like, come the fuck on, Bridget. And they're like, why did it take her hundreds of years after she died to give us a bank holiday? I was like, that is an excellent use of that quote. Well done.
Yes, I must have a look at that now. Do you ever get that when you have certain meme accounts and they're all up in your grill? You see every post and then all of a sudden they're gone. I haven't seen a post from Gaelic Queens for a while and I engage with that content.
But do you remember the day we realised the Barry's banter bus? Poof, gone. I was devastated.
No.
And it took me ages to realise that it was gone.
No, guys, I didn't know it was gone either. I just thought I like fell out of my algorithm.
Devastated. Anyway, enough about Barry's banter bus. Let's talk Trigger Point banter. Brendan is here with your recap of season 2, episode 2. Take it away, bitch.
Well, the episode opens with a curly blonde man being chased by armed police, including Tom himself.
Sorry.
Tom, what?
You haven't even finished your first sentence. One of the girls we work with, Orla, who is an absolute legend, listens to the pod every week.
Love
like
Orla.
I'm pretty sure Orla is like an OG podcast listener since the cease and desist days. Orla told me that she thinks that this man looks like Daddy Freyr.
Oh, Daddy Freyr, as in
baby.
Yeah,
I can't wait to know
what do you think about? Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
Tom, thanks for
references,
thanks for that.
Did
that go over your head, Hannah, or did you get it?
Just slightly.
Slightly. It's Eurovision, hon. So Tom tackles Daddy Freyr to the ground, presumably arrests him, right? Lana's having a little lie down at home when her dad lets himself in. They've missed each other and they have a catch up over a lovely cuppa, right? Now, Lana's dad has been crashing at hers while she's been away for the last 6 months. Her mother, he says, is not coping with the death of her son who was blown to smithereens at the end of season 1. And guys, I'm just going to say, this is a TV show. I'm not going to treat any of the deaths or explosions, any of the explosions with, I guess, the maybe decorum it deserves. We're going to keep things light and breezy
Fine.
Today, okay?
Agreed.
That's what's going to happen, right? So, Lana's dad wants Lana to phone her mom, and she says she will, but she's busy right now. And then a man I've written here who I don't think we know. I don't think we do. I think he's introduced at this stage. He's lighting candles at home at what looks like a shrine to a child who I think may be dead. And I think the name on the little photo frame said Cleo, okay? He's watching the news about the power station explosion. His mobile rings. A mystery man tells him he did a great job of raising the power station CCTV. But now it's time to get your hands dirty, this mystery caller says. Bit of a heavy breather. Lana calls in to see Sonia in forensics. I bloody forgot about Sonia and I love her. Sonia gives me Joyce vibes from Happy Valley.
100%. And guys, I saw a teaser somewhere for Trigger Point Season 2 and I think something bad happens to Sonia. She's kidnapped or something.
Oh,
I could be
God.
Wrong. I don't know if I'm dreaming this in a rose haze, but I think something bad happens to her. Like, I think
Did you get locked on rose and have a premonition about Sonia and forensics?
No, I'm almost sure I saw it come up in the algorithm somewhere, okay, like a quick clip. Like,
okay. Well, we love Sonia. Sonia hasn't had a man of the 6 month Lan has been away, and then she just literally blurts this information out. She's like, haven't had a man in the 6 months since you've been gone. And then she wants to know if Lana has been basically speaking to Tom Thumb. And Lana's like, I have. And I know that he's got a new woman. And then Sonia's like, isn't it awful what happened to John? And Lana's like, it is, yeah. So she's got bits and pieces from the explosion of the power station, and they suggest that it was an inside job. Lana's like, oh, I wonder if it was ex-military. And Sonia's like, no, I reckon it's a scientist. So then we see two counter-terrorism bosses. They chat about the attack and they say it's extremists, but they don't know who or why yet, right? Tom runs the team through what happened, says they suspected a drone pilot has been arrested. That's blonde, curly Daddy Freyr fella, right? So he's been arrested. He's the suspected pilot of the drone. We're not in Wujan now, guys. Nicholas Hood is his name. 27-year-old PhD student living in New Cross. Not a known terrorist, no criminal record. Again, they hear that what happened needed access and technical knowledge, right? So in episode one, at the very start, we saw three engineers, the fellow who tampered with the PC, and then the other lads. So the two others died in the blast. The third fella who was like tapping at the computer, Joe Hansen is his name. He's going to be questioned, but currently he's in bits in hospital. The counter-terror boss says this is an unprecedented attack on the police. He's like, go speak to your informants, shake the trees and see what falls out. I really liked that. And he's like, we cannot, and in the words of Hannah, foreshadowing, we cannot afford another attack, which something tells me we're going to see. Lana isn't happy that Tom isn't questioning Daddy Freyr and is instead going with her. Nicholas, your man, the blondie drone pilot fella, he denies that he was ever even in the tower block. He's like, no idea what you're talking about, nothing to do with me, yada, yada, yada. So then he's shown the social media video of, you know, like basically fuck the police or whatever it said. And he's like, whoever is behind that must feel, he's just like, just general injustice, upset at life. And he's like, I'm an astrophysicist and my plan is to be off to Harvard in the next few years where I'm going to mold the minds of the next generation. Absolutely terrifying. I know.
Terrifying though, yeah.
Get over yourself. Then we're
back. Yeah, no, he's like, I'm going to mold the minds of the next generation.
Off you go then.
Yeah, so we're back to the fella who wiped the power station CCTV voluntarily. He's voluntarily walking into the back of an unknown transit van. Wouldn't be for me now. Armed police raid a couple's lovely looking home where Nicholas Hood, the drone pilot, is. I think he's renting a room. I think that it's a house share. It's very well kept, clean, tidy, lovely, jubbly. Lana thinks Tom is pissed off with her because he won't give her, like, basically the operational goss. You know, when things are good between them, he's always giving her the bit of, you know, the bit of DL, but he's like not giving her anything. And then basically Tom says here, he's like, I don't think you meant it when you said you loved me when I was standing on the Tom bomb. And then the couple that Nicholas lives with, basically Lana and Tom kind of chat to them. They search his room. They're like, it's really kind of quiet, clean, tidy, all good. And then the couple are like, oh, you know, Nick, he's just.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shy, quiet, does nothing, has no friends. I'm like, fucking alarm bells, guys. And then they're like, oh, he used to babysit for us the odd time. So just on the based off that one sentence, Lana instantly goes into a bedroom, goes into the baby's cot, checks underneath it, and in like 0.5 of a second finds this like little package. It looks like a little sandwich bag, and it's got circuit boards inside it stuck to the underside of the baby's cot, right?
Jesus.
Yeah. So Joe Hansen, this is the fella who tampered with the PC. Joe Hansen. He is what I can only describe as in bits in hospital, the poor bastard. The blisters, right? Helen, Tom's missus, is in to fire a few questions at him anyway. So Helen's like asking him questions, and all Joe can get out is the word she, and then he mumbles a few other indecipherable words, and there are no words because I had, I was about to say closed captions. That's weird. Subtitles on. When I was watching this,
they didn't say anything, but that's on purpose. No. Pet, yeah. You know,
so he didn't say anything.
Jeez, Jed's caught on to us now with the subtitles and line
unclear
of duty and whatnot.
If Joe popped his clogs here or not, I don't know if he's alive, but anyway, he's not in a good way. So Lana and the bomb squad, they're
no,
at the scene
I
of
thought
a suspect.
That the beep was going off, like I thought that it was like, you know, his last words
done.
Were saying something. Yeah, I'm not, they didn't say now, but
yeah,
I just
I
thought
know.
It was maybe for dramatic effect, I suppose. They just were like, you know, let him code there.
Well,
and
all he did say for
it.
Sure was the word she, right? So then, next, Lana and the bomb squad, they're at a scene of a suspected explosion, right? It's a lovely looking house, and it's registered to a woman that they know is named Zara Baxter. Lana looks in the window, sees a woman on the floor, she's like, she's not moving. But Lana now, bit of PTSD after the whole Tom bomb rigmarole in the last episode, terrified that this entire thing is another trap to try and just kill all of them, doesn't want to touch a thing, does a few checks, says it's clear, she's going in. Now, poor Zara, the woman who owns the house, she's tied to a radiator now. And now I'm sorry, Zara, because the poor woman's about to die. But that looks like a towel, like a bathroom radiator in a kitchen. What was she thinking?
Yeah, very strange. It looked like a bathroom radiator.
It looked like a bathroom
radiator,
but it was in the kitchen.
A towel rack. My mum has one in the house.
Yeah, but she has it in the bathroom, pet.
She does indeed, not in
very
the kitchen.
Strange. I don't know why you'd have a towel rat in the kitchen. Anyway, who am I to judge?
Brendan, I know who am I to judge as well. I mean, not a pot to piss in, do you
no,
know?
No, exactly. Yeah, no. So obviously, the question here is who has tied Zara up and why? Now, she's got what looks like a big chrome choker that Whitney wore in the Queen of the Night music video around her neck. That's how I'm going to describe this, right? But this is no 90s bop. It is a bomb. Lana is frantically snipping wires, and I mean frantically, but it's no use. And just like DJ Jazzy Jeff, poor Zara goes tick, 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 boom. Lana is frantically snipping wires. No, I've said that already. So,
oh, it was horrific. That was horrific, guys.
Zara's redecorated the downstairs. There was a lot, wasn't there? She's redecorated the downstairs. Now, Lana is alive, but understandably quite shook, right? Tom tells the counter-terror boss that Zara had pictures of her and your man Hansen on her phone, and he had photos of her as well. So that's the connection, right? So the assumption here is that the bombers used Zara to threaten Hansen to get him to override the failsafe. Tom explains that Zara's chrome choker was triggered by what is called an LDR. That is a light-dependent resistor. So obviously, we know that this was set off when Lana pulled back Zara's hair to have a look at the chrome choker. Light got in, set it off. So that's how it went off, right? So your man, Commander Francis, the counter-terror fellow, once again looking for any excuse to sack Lana. He fucking hates her. He's kind of on to this here. Not that Lana's done anything wrong, but he's like, oh, and, you know, why would that go off? And Tom's like, just speak to Lana, right? Lana's dad phones her again. He's like, you said you phoned your mother. What's going on? She's like, I'm going to phone her right now. But she's distracted because Tom comes and sits in the car for the chats, right?
Lana, I just think something bad is going to happen to the mum now. Or like to the dad, because like now that she never rings the mum.
Yeah. I don't know if we're supposed to care about the mother, are we? I don't know. Mm.
Oh, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, yeah, no one else can surely die. Mm. Oh, God. Yeah, the blackmailing and whatnot. Mm.
So Lana feels bad for Zara, right? Obviously. And tells Tom that she meant it when she said she loved him. She was like, when you were standing on the Tom bomb and I said I loved you, I meant it. I want to try again. I've missed you. They hold hands and Tom says, me too. And he's like, I'm going to talk to Helen. But he's like, I don't want anyone to get hurt, but I'm going to have the conversation with Helen. Difficult as and all as it's going to be, right? Sonia from Forensics, J'adore, interrupts with fragments of a circuit board from the chrome choker. Surprise, surprise. They match the ones found strapped under the baby's cot. Nicholas straight in for questioning. Tom puts it to him that he found out that John Hansen was having an affair with Zara and then used that to blackmail him into overriding the failsafe. He refused. Nicholas popped the choker on Zara and an innocent woman is now dead. Chillingly, Nicholas replies, I don't recognise your laws. I am a non-subscriber to your jurisdiction. I am exercising free will. I am no longer a pawn.
I hate him.
I absolutely hate him. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we're back to the fellow who wiped the CCTV and willingly got into the back of a transit van. He's being held in some warehouse by masked men and women. And he's like, I'm all in. Tell me what you want me to do. And then they take some of his blood as what they call insurance. Honestly, the noise of the blood coming out of his arm, I nearly fainted. I can't cope.
It's very like Jackie Laverty OCG with the little fellas, isn't it?
Mm. It is actually very much like that. In a stairwell, Tom tells Helen they need to talk. She seems blissfully unaware he's about to break up with her. Commander Francis commends Lana on her work. Once again, he says he's personally committed to gender equality and I'll be watching you with great interest in your career. And just like that, someone is live streaming again. The message on screen this time says, let's pull the plug on big tech. Lana and the bomb squad arrive at a building. And when they spoke, I thought they said the ITN, as in like ITN, as in the network that kind of does the news for Channel 5, ITV, Channel 4. But I may have misheard them. I'm not sure.
God, yeah, I wouldn't even know what that is.
Mm. So they got a call 25 minutes ago saying there's a device in a lift with six people trapped inside and it's currently in between the fifth and the sixth floors. Now, Lana is in a lift shaft. She gets into the lift through the ceiling of it. So it gets into the shaft, down onto the roof, the ceiling of the lift. Little flap, in she goes. Inside now, everyone, there's about five, six people in there. Very, very calm. They're all, if I was in
Aren't
a lift
they?
Now, very calm.
Too
I
calm.
Would be, I'd be sweating, right? So Lana spots a tampered panel on the wall inside the lift. Everyone gets out, bar one man who refuses orders. He won't be intimidated by meaningless threats. He was like, bomb scares, vaccines, I won't be controlled. All right, mate. So he won't leave, which means he's making Lana's job more difficult. She now has to deal with this thing manually. It's way more dangerous this way. She wanted everyone to get out and do it remotely. At first, he refuses. She offers him basically this big sheet. It's a bomb blanket. And he's like, I don't need that either. But as Lana screws off the panel, he really like hilariously kind of like just slowly creeps behind the blanket. And like all you have is like two little eyes peeping out. All Lana finds, though, inside the tampered panel is what's called a jammer, and that just stops the lift from going up and down. They flick the power back on. They're going down to the ground floor. Lana makes some joke about getting himself a pair of new trousers from menswear because the implication is he shat himself. Tom's evacuating everyone down the stairs when they hear what sounds like an explosion. A woman in what looks like fire officer gear says there's been an explosion inside a lift shaft. She brings Tom to show him. She looks into an open lift shaft from a height. She gags, turns around and goes, oh my God, I can't believe it. Tom is like, what? The woman's like, come over here and look for yourself. And just as Tom peers into the open lift shaft and sees there's nothing there, in a scene reminiscent of Georgia Trotman being fucked out of the hospital window in Line of Duty, she shoves poor Tom, and Tom and his thumb fall from a height, landing on the ceiling of the lift that Lana and the random man are in. The little flap is open. Lana sees Tom's wrist and a trickle of blood. And that is, I was about to say Line of Duty, Trigger Point, Season 2, Episode 2. Wrong show.
Brendan, I thoroughly enjoyed that. But holy shit, guys. Same. We're two episodes in, they've killed two main characters. Like, or
is he
Tom
dead, though? Is he dead? I don't know.
He's paralyzed. Oh, he was on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Like,
do you know what you just said there? They were going down.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. The jump is too long for him to survive that, surely, if they had gone down. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like this is such an unnecessary death if he is gone, though. I'm like, I don't care about anyone else.
No, I know. Yeah, I'm only invested in Tom and Lana's like potential relationship. Do you think the man in the lift with Lana is in on it, or is he just a stubborn anti-vaxxer, anti-I won't be controlled, anti-rules?
Yeah, I think they just want to put an anti-vaxxer vibe in there.
Hmm.
Like either or, but like I don't know, I'd say he could be all part of the plot, probably, to be honest. They probably were like, here, you get in there and like, you know, make it difficult perhaps. Or he could just be someone who doesn't want to be controlled. Yes. Hard to tell. Now, that woman for a moment, is the woman in the fire gear the same woman with the baby in the house?
The baby in the house, remind me of the baby. Oh yeah, I don't know is the answer there.
Yeah, no, neither do I. But again, with the rosé and whatnot. But I just wasn't sure. I was like, who is this woman?
Hmm. Unclear.
Or is she the woman who was the homeless woman in the car? Are they the same people?
I don't know if we know her at all, do we?
No, maybe we don't. Maybe I'm just reading too far into things. But yeah, it's pretty horrific now, to be honest.
I'm really enjoying it.
No one's safe.
It's an easy watch, do you know?
It is.
I'm actually really enjoying it as well. I'm kind of surprised. Yeah.
Hannah, I love that you've done a 180. Welcome to the dark side.
It's because it's so much... Last season it was shite in the sense that it did not make any sense. Like some of the things that happened like weren't logical. Whereas now it's shite in the sense of like it's just ridiculous and it's just a bit mad. And that I'm there for. I have no problem with ridiculous stuff if it kind of is a bit of logic. Like Lana finding, like, why would you hide something in a baby's car? Like, there's just no way. Like, and Lana coming to that conclusion and your man down the lift, it's a bit camp. There's a lot going on. So I'm there for. Fine with that.
We're veering towards Marcella territory and I'm here for it.
Agreed. And we've managed to bring it up in a new season again.
I know, yeah. So our friend Ferg WhatsApped me. I think it must have been during the Treasures or Vigil. And he was like, Jesus Christ, you guys have mentioned Marcella so many times. He's like, more now than even, you didn't really speak about when it was on. He's like, now you talk about it all the time. He's like, what is the obsession?
It's you guys joked for years. I mean, like a handbrake turn. It's just so crazy. Okay, so I finally watched the third season, and then the thing that I thought was crazy, I think, was different to what you thought was crazy.
Yeah.
I thought the eye situation was the crazy thing. I think you guys were like, her riding someone was like horrible. I can't remember, but yeah, it really is like a different series in season three. Like, yeah,
it's because I've never seen that happen to a show before. It's like I've never seen them just like they gave her a whole new look, they gave her a whole new identity,
a new accent, a new name.
They just started again, and we just had to go on with it. And it was one of the most outrageous things I've ever seen happen in the show. And I just couldn't believe Anna for real was doing it. I just couldn't believe it. That's why to this day, it just strikes me.
But like, guys, I don't have many regrets in life, but I regret not podcasting about them every week. I just wish we'd done
Marcella.
A podcast.
I know. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I know. That'd be great.
Hannah has your thoughts and theories, and we'll be back with them after this.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Love our ad breaks, guys. Okay, thank you so much to everyone who sent in thoughts and theories. You can, of course, always send us in a voice note, or you can write into us on the website Shrine Podcast. I never know the name of our website. It's shrinepodcast.com.
Yeah.
And Hannah, then want you to know the name, but we just paid for another year. Yeah,
Hannah, you built it.
I created it. Do you know what it throws me? Because that's Shrine Podcast and everywhere else we're Shrine Pod. And every time I go to say it so confidently, there's a little voice in my head that's like, that's wrong. But you can send us in a voice note just like these lovely people at shrinepodcast.com. So up first, here's Martin, and he thinks that the writers of the show are introducing this new concept by basically killing, quote unquote, the dick of the day.
Okay, so it's Martin here. I've been a very good boy. I haven't binge watched all the episodes of Trigger Point yet, but they're certainly feeding us an awful lot of excitement in every single episode, which is great. But I do have a theory. I think they're introducing a new concept by killing the dick of the day. So last week's episode, we saw John get it. And let's face it, John was a dick. And you say what you like about Thom, but Thom, he really is a dick as well. All that stuff about, oh, I'm not allowed to discuss things that we're investigating because you're not authorised, and all that sort of stuff. So they chucked him down a lift shaft. So I don't know who's going to get it next week. Probably the commissioner, but let's wait and see. Great podcast, guys. You are the only reason I haven't binge-watched a lot. So have a great week. Look forward to listening to the podcast.
Killing the dick of the day. So as in John in episode one, not Thom in episode two. He's not a dick. Thom's not a dick, is he?
Guys, we are sugarcoating Thom because Thom, excuse me, they've sort of written his character to be very nice, and we're kind of pushing him to get back with Lana. Cast your mind back to season one. We all hated him and he was a dick off the day.
Okay.
So I agree.
A dick in season one.
Are we confusing him with his character in Happy Valley when he was the PE teacher and he was a dick?
No, he was really like passive aggressive, and just, I think in season one we were like, God, he wasn't that great to her. We can understand why she went off with your man. 100%. Warren. Is his name Warren?
Warren Brown is the actor's name.
Yeah.
Your man. The man.
I know who you're
man.
On about. Yeah. Good looking guy. Mm.
Gorgeous. Okay. Up next is Rachel. I actually love this voice note.
What the actual fuck? Oh my God.
Short and sweet, guys. Just to the point. What the actual fuck and oh my God. And they are two things that I also said when Thom was flung down a lift shaft by a tiny little woman. Okay, Jackie hates Thom, and I think Brendan, this voice note will help you sort of remember why. And she also just wants to just get in on the theory that Danny isn't dodgy, because there's still a lot of suspicion over him.
Okay, so trigger point, I was like, whichever of the lassies it was that said, I was a wee bit dubious about the last series, but the first episode of this series, yeah, I mean, it seems okay. It was certainly eventful. But a couple of things. So you were all saying how Danny was looking shifty, quite rightly, because he was. But remember, he was looking shifty all the way through series one as well. And he just has a naturally shifty face. And there's not any foreshadowing in that at all. And the other thing is, I hate Thom. I really just hate him. I hated him in the last series and I don't like him any better in this series. I haven't forgotten that he took Lana's dinner away when she hadn't finished eating it, which was just an unforgivable thing to do. And so I hope that there are many obstacles in their way and this relationship does not get back together, because I don't like him.
So are you starting to remember now a little bit about Thom season
it's
one?
It's coming back to me. It's coming back to me, yeah. So he's the dick of the day today.
Dick of the day, according to Martin. And
we didn't see much of Danny, guys.
Huh?
This episode, we barely saw Danny. So is he going to be chopped? Is he going to be killed and get the chop in episode three?
Well, it depends if he's a dick of the day or not. But like, the next dick on my list would be the patronising anti-feminist boss man.
Oh, Commander Francis. No, he's mad for equality. I don't know what you mean.
With sly remarks like, it's great to see a woman in the job.
No, he's such a dick.
Watch your back.
He's the dick of the series. Never mind dick of the day.
I think he might like her, but anyway, I'm just used to men showing me a different type of thing.
He's a vile man.
Okay, we're going to, Rebecca, off mic, we're going to just explore that a little bit more. Ricky, we're not going to listen to Ricky's voice now, but I just a quick update, because we did hear from him last week and we asked the man, was he single, which he's not thrilled for you. And also, was he related to Diane from The Traitors, which he's also not thrilled for you there. But Ricky, thanks so much, because I love nothing more than when we ask for something and then we receive the follow-up answers that we require our personal investigations. Emails this week, guys, shrinepod@gmail.com. Thank you so much to whoever put that in the notes, because I simply can't remember how to contact this podcast clearly. Melanie emailed us with her random thoughts as she was watching. So Melanie says, Lana and Thom have a deep and meaningful in the hall, while the husband and wife are surrounded by armed guards. Like, what the fuck? And this is the type of what the fuck stuff that happens in Trigger Point that I'm not fighting. I'm not pushing back against it now, guys. I'm just leaning in. And Melanie, just give up, because it's not going to make sense and it's just easier when you just accept it. Helen would have not been allowed in that ICU room without an infection controlled outfit, a mask at the very least. And Melanie points out that
she's,
you think, Jed
spluttering all over the man's open wounds, like he had whatever the worst degree of burns are, and Helen's just there like eating a packet of fucking peanuts beside him. Do you know
the
what
man
I mean?
Was an open wound. The whole man was a whole open wound. So I completely agree. And Melanie points out that Jed
there's no way that you would even, like, whatever about not wearing protective, like, PPE, you wouldn't, the man was not in a fit state to be questioned. It's like, you wouldn't be allowed in there. Like,
he is in the waiting room for heaven. That man was, shouldn't have been able to string a sentence together. He needed to be in some sort of, like, bubble, like, he needed to be in essentially, like, an incubator. Like, I can't believe they done that makeup on him. And we're like, sit there in the bed and wheeze out your last words. And Melanie points out, so this series is produced by Jeb Mercurio, who is the writer, his production company, who is the writer of Line of Duty and one of Jed's first ever television projects. I think the show was called Doctors. It was a medical based drama. It was called Bodies.
So. Yeah.
But was Jed a doctor, guys?
He was a doctor.
Jed was a doctor.
So she just thinks Jed should have fed back a little bit more in this. But my opinion, and I could be so
guys,
wrong.
Guys, it's a TV show.
This could be very rude, but I just don't think Jed is very hands-on with this show. I think the company produces it. I wouldn't say the man is very heavily involved. Okay, Melanie says, your man would have been on oxygen, out of it on pain meds, couldn't hear what he mumbled. Did anyone else have subtitles on? I don't really know what the man said either. I just think he should have been left alone.
He just said the word she, that's all he got out, and then nothing else.
Okay, just leave him. I would know my head in that room.
And then Helen was like, your wife? And he just said, shit.
Jesus, guys, now I'm getting all the theories in after this in my head. What if Lana is the orchestrator? Do you know?
Yeah.
You said this last season, Rebecca, when her brother got blown up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's all connected to her. Like, everyone around her has been fucking blown up into smithereens. Do you know what I mean?
Everyone around her.
And
we have,
when it happens.
We have a tweet We have a tweet that brings up that point, because it's getting a bit ridiculous.
What
now.
If the whole time Lana hasn't been disarming bombs, she's been setting them off? Imagine.
Jesus, I kind of like that now, because she was very close to that woman whose head got blown off. And also, I actually forgot to bring this up in the last episode, but they put it into the recap, like, here's what happened last time. And it was like, that bomb that she was disarming, I think it was like on the gate at the very start of the episode, and she goes back to disarm it and Danny's like, Lana, move, and like she gets out of the way just in time, and then it's like the most pathetic, like, little pipe, like, flings towards the screen. It's so stupid looking. She's always, it's very Traitors, like, as you said, Brendan, it's very Traitors mission style, like, she's always out of there just at the last second.
Four seconds to go.
But you know, so Melanie wonders what Lana sees in Thom. To be honest, same. They've made him very likable this season, but he is a dick. And also, she really wasn't into him, and now she is. But I guess that's just how relationships go. She said the new boss is so sneaky and misogynistic. I think he's bent. Well, he could be our dick of the day next week. She's now crying. I think. Oh, I'm sorry for. Oh, okay. So this was something that Melanie was writing live. So she feels bad now for asking what Lana sees in Thom because he's now been thrown down a lift shaft. And essentially she's shook. So we're moving on to our tweets. Thank you to everybody who tweeted us at Shrine Pod. Laurie says, Thom saw coming, foreshadowed in the happiness between them. She's referring to Thom and Lana. Wanted to kick the guy in the lift, in the shins. Yeah, so did I.
Oh yeah, he was a prick. We had a couple of dicks of the day really in that episode, didn't we?
There actually has been a load of dicks. Friend of the podcast, Terry says, well, Thom's really falling for her now. Loved that.
Go on, Terry.
Loved that.
Well done.
Leanne, RIP, Thom Thom. I literally gasped out loud. So did I, to be honest. Also, can someone please call occupational health? Get poor Lana on compassionate leave right now. She's seen people been blown up left, right and centre, and she's not even been home long enough to realise her dad's moved in. Now, I'm sorry, but I just thought that scene was so stupid because she's like, Dad, I think you're living here because the food
the fridge is full
of food and all your stuff is here. I'm like, yeah, that's some fucking brilliant detective work, pet. Really links up between the same woman that ran to that cot within 10 seconds of finding out your man sometimes babysat. And then
would we explore the fact that maybe Thom Thom is not dead? Because let's just bear in mind the show's a little, you know, it's on the verge of ridiculous. Like, he might not be dead.
He has to be in a coma, paralyzed or brain damaged. Like, that was a huge fall.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Guys, I think he is. No, because I think when the way you said, Brendan, they went down to the very bottom, like, you just wouldn't survive. I think he is gone. Yeah. And yeah.
What I'll say now,
though, I don't want him to be.
No, neither did I, actually. But
who else do I care about in this show? Do you know what I mean?
If he isn't dead, guys, this show is fucking mad. If he's not dead next week, this is we're in full Marcella season 3 territory where this
and
is
I'm
ape
here
shit.
For it.
Same, and I'm just no, as guys, I said to Melanie, I've just given into it. It's absolutely manic if this man isn't dead.
Guys, he is dead.
Why? You he just is. Asked. Did you? Oh, I no, just Brendan asked.
I just googled Thom trigger point dead.
Oh.
And the articles are like, they're just like, yeah, no, I think he is. Although someone said potentially fell to his death.
Don't do that anymore, yeah. Red, because the whole season came out on ITV. You ruin it for yourself.
I know, but I just wanted to know.
No, I'm going to watch it now next week and see.
That's the end of the speculation
gone,
there, then.
Guys.
That's one quick way to find out if he's dead or not. You could actually just Google it because all the episodes have been released.
Guys, it says potentially fell to his death in my article that I went into. So we still don't know for sure.
Okay, well look, if he's dead, he's dead. If he's not, this show's off the wall. So either way, we're in for an interesting final four episodes. Shape Your Wardrobe said, our last tweet, I can only imagine your reaction, lads. Thought Thom had it coming because I said, where did the fire crew come from? Surely he'd know there wasn't one in the building. Yeah, I thought that was very clever. No one is safe, but I'm not on board with the Danny is dodgy yet. And great tweets, great points. And if you want to get in touch with us at Shrine Pod, shrinepodcast.com or shrinepod@gmail.com.
I hope Claudia Winkleman's going to be at Thom's funeral in her little black veil. And then we'll just have eyes on like Lana and Helen just to like, you know, see the two mourning women.
Guys, I really hope something bad doesn't happen to Helen as well. Because like, honestly, Lana should be questioned at that point if it's this many people around her who have died and she's beside all the bombs. Like, well, ridiculous.
Maybe Commander Francis is fucking onto something.
She at least needs to be relocated. And I know she's only back, but trouble does seem to follow her around and it's getting a bit ridiculous.
Give the woman a desk job. She needs to come off the front line. It's too traumatic.
And also, yeah, not being really bad, but call over to your mom and help her sort out things with her dad. They gave you life. I'd put a little bit more effort into helping your dad there, to be honest, if he's living out of your flat. Like,
yeah, she just never still got to ring the mum. So I'd imagine now episode 3 we'll get more of that storyline. Do you know what I mean? Because, yeah, it's all there for a reason, obviously. But guys, I really hope Thom isn't dead, but he definitely is, isn't he?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Like, she looked so horrified when she saw it. Like, I feel like he's got, yeah. I think he's gone, guys.
I'd look horrified if I was in a lift and there was a thump and a wrist. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but like, I just, the end, wasn't the last bit was like that she could see it was him.
She could see his wristwatch and a little trickle of blood.
Oh, well done on the wristwatch. Because I was like, how from that angle? But I've given up trying to find logic in this show. Did she know that it was him?
Yeah, I think it was because of his watch.
Oh, Brendan, fair play. Well, fair play. You were watching it intently, more intently than I was. Well, we'll find out next week for sure if Tom is gone for good, you know, or if he's back to, I was going to say, slay another day, but like thumb another day. You know what I mean? I don't know. We'll find out for sure. But at this point, there's going to be no characters left at the end. We're only two episodes in, guys. It's crazy town. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely mad. So anyway, that's it from us. We've had a ball chatting about Trigger Point Season 2, Episode 2. Join us next week at the same time. We'll find out if Tom is actually dead. Maybe just wishful thinking on my behalf, but sure, look. Thank you for your lovely reviews, by the way. You can keep sending the love our way on Apple Podcasts if you hit follow or subscribe as well. Follow us on social at ShrinePod. Email us, shrinepod@gmail.com, or visit the website and leave a voice note, shrinepodcast.com. And of course, if you'd like to as well, support the podcast on patreon.com/shrinepod. In the meantime, have a great week. Now off to have another rosé. Ta-ra.
This is TV worth talking about.
My gut tells me we're dealing with sophisticated fans.
This is Shrine Podcasts.
90 seconds, hurry!
Trigger Point.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.